you have to separate the technology from the use cases. Technology is universal. Now, how you manage this and how you use that to solve the problem is where the real opportunity lies, because you can contextualize and make the solution that you are applying relevant to the customer. And the problem that you're facing as a customer, you know, in the Western world, in the US, for example, is very different from the problem that I'm facing with a customer in Africa.
Welcome to Chief Digital Heroes, where we celebrate those who lead the charge on all things digital transformation at the world's most innovative banks and financial institutions. Here's your host, Matthew Van Niekerk, CEO and founder of Settlement. Now, let's jump right into today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to another episode of Chief Digital Heroes. Today, I'm speaking with Vale Kuduma, who's the Group Chief Digital Officer at EcoBank Transnational Incorporated. Vale, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Pleasure.
Great. So really, just to kick us off for the episode, I'd love to hear if you could maybe share a little bit about the journey you've taken to come to the position that you have today as a Chief Digital Officer at EcoBank. What was the journey like? What's your background? And what's led you to the role you have today?
Thank you very much, Matthew. And it's really a pleasure to be invited to the podcast. I've been listening to the podcast with a few chief digital officers who have been part of the podcast, and I'm glad to be sharing my experience as well with your audience. So my name is Vale Kuduma, as you said, and I define myself as a deeply rooted in Africa with a global head. So I'm originally from Cote d'Ivoire, and I did my primary education in Cote d'Ivoire, and I started my career in the FMCG world. So I was working with Coca-Cola, and that was a wonderful period where really focusing on the marketing aspect of customers and understanding customers and understanding how to influence customers was really part of my initial learning. And then I went global. So I went for my MBA at Harvard Business School in Boston. And after my MBA, coming out of that training, I had the African experience, and I was really, you know, there are a few trends that really were important for me when I was leaving for my MBA. There's the fact that technology was a big trend in Africa. So the mobile phone was spreading everywhere, and people started using it. It was becoming a normal commodity, affecting people's life. And the two trends that I saw was that my mobile app was affecting everything. One of the places that was the most traditional and difficult to move was finance. And I thought that by combining technology and finance, you could actually create a big wave on the continent. So that was one area that I thought interesting. And then I had an opportunity to join the Citibank in New York and working on some global projects. And some of these projects were actually technology facilitating and leveraging technology to deliver digital services. So really, that's where the hook really took for me. And I decided that I wanted to go faster in that process. The corporate life was too slow. I wanted to go much faster. So I moved on the entrepreneurial route. So I went out as a fintech founder. So I set up a fintech in New York, in the New York area. Build up a platform. We started really doing payments on that platform and leveraging the wallet system. It was one of the first independent wallet providers. We were target diaspora in the African continent. Wonderful experience, a good 5-6 years. And I decided at one point, because of many reasons that we can touch, but I decided at one point that it was time to shift and leverage that knowledge to create more impact with the existing banks. So I went to that point really looking at how that digital capability can be used with different companies. So I spent some time in Singapore with Standard Chartered Bank, and then decided that my focus was to come back to the roots. Like I said, we're deeply African in the roots. So I spent about 3 years with Barclays, still managing digital transformation for Barclays Africa in South Africa. And 4 years ago, I decided that I wanted to spend more scale, more on the African continent. So I joined EcoBank. That offered about the largest footprint on the continent, about 34 countries. So since 2020, right before COVID, I've joined the bank and I'm leading the digital transformation for the bank at this point. So that's me.
Well, I'm in preparation for the podcast. I was checking out your LinkedIn profile and I looked at all of the recommendations you had from some people from your past. And I think what you summarized is really a shortened version, because the feedback or the recommendations that are visible on LinkedIn are really say a lot about you. I think there's one thing about a really impressive track record professionally, but a lot resonates about you as a person and how you lead teams and how you interact with the people you're working with. So thanks for the intro. And I'm looking forward in this conversation to learn more about you and how you approach the job and so forth. Now, you mentioned something there about the experience you had at Citibank, where you did the payments, mobile payment initiative, and then you saw the opportunity to bring that to the continent. And that's kind of like importing an idea from a country into potentially emerging markets, which can create big opportunities. And if I'm not mistaken, that was back in 2008, 2009, somewhere in that time frame.
Oh, no, 7 years, yeah.
And I'm wondering now, like in your position now, do you see opportunities to bring ways of working or technologies from emerging markets into developed markets? Because I think, does that flow of technology and knowledge, does it remain unidirectional or does it become bidirectional?
I think it suffices to say that the largest mobile money market in the world today is in Africa. So I think you heard about M-Pesa. That M-Pesa is just one example, right? So when you look at MTN, MTN Mobile Money in more than 20 markets, and you know, growing, Orange is, and all the telco providers have some sort of mobile money, and that's really now spreading. And there are new products, because that's really the baseline. There are new product, new services that are being built on top of that, like more loans, more investment product that are all technology driven. So I think it's both ways. So if you look at the mobile money technology, for example, it's spreading in Asia now, right? Pakistan, Bangladesh, they all have some form of mobile money. My philosophy in this is you have to separate the technology from the use cases. Technology is universal, right? That's really the one, I mean, the dots, right? 101010, that's universal, right? Now, how you manage this and how you use that to solve the problem is where the real opportunity lies, because you can contextualize and make the problem, the solution that you're applying relevant to the customer. And the problem that you're facing as a customer, you know, in the Western world, in the US, for example, is very different from the problem that I'm facing with a customer in Africa, right? And suffice to say, if I'm dealing with a customer in Europe or in the US, I have all the data available in one form or another, right? I can always go to a credit bureau and get the information. I can get the history. I can get the ID verification. I can get the social profile. I can get enough data. When I'm dealing with the customer in Africa, until now, you didn't have that access of data. But today, you have enough data that can actually help you create a profile for that customer. You have your mobile data, you have the calls that are being made, you have the mobile money about the payment that are being made. In some countries now, you have the ID database where you can go and check the ID of the person. You still have the social media profile, and people, startups are trying to leverage that to provide that profile. So it's really about, we might be the technology, but the technology is a tool. It's understanding problem that you're trying to solve and avoid the copy paste. Because sometime in the past, unfortunately, we've suffered from copy paste, because something was working in the Western world. You copy and you want to paste it in Africa. It doesn't.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's always local. If you end up in situations where it just doesn't feel right, if you're trying to copy paste, it doesn't fit the local market for sure. I'm going to maybe jump back a little bit to EcoBank. And what are your primary responsibilities at EcoBank as Chief Digital Officer, and which areas do you really focus on?
Okay. So as the Chief Digital Officer, I'm coordinating the digital transformation. Now that's a very vague statement, right? There's so many things that goes into that. But I see my remit as three key areas in everything. So the first one is the digital channels, not the digital platform, I would say. Because, you know, it's really about customer engagement. How am I engaging with customers? And in that sense, you have the traditional channel. We're going to talk about the mobile app, the web, the USSD. You are talking about technology that are relevant to Africa. So USSD, for example, is a very relevant technology for Africa, which might not be the case in other parts of the world. But, you know, you have what I call as well, new emerging channel, like the chats. So the chats is, for example, new emerging channel. And there are some channels that are relevant to our environment as well, like agency banking, so the agent. So how you're engaging with the agent and everything becomes extremely important in that sense. So that's all the digital platform and how we are engaging with the customers and how we are also optimizing some of the processes that exist, like an account opening, like a lending process. So all of this gets into one big bucket, what I call digital platform. There's a second element, which is the data and analytics. All of these are footprints, all these footprints leave traces, and all these traces are data, right? So our journey on the data side is really understanding how we can leverage the data to support the business. So I was talking about, for example, understanding better the customer, create leads, do cross-selling, understand the customer life cycle to understand exactly when you need intervention into that life cycle. So all of these elements are extremely, extremely important, okay? And you need to be able to get the right approach. And the last point is the innovation. And on the innovation piece is really coming out with as a relevant solution, the relevant concept that can solve for the opportunities that the business identified, okay? And in that setting, it's really important. It's true for all the three areas, but in that setting, it's important to understand that innovation is something that needs to be across the organization. There's not somebody sitting in an ivory tower and thinking that, he knows everything. No, it's really about creating the framework that allows people to be able to contribute and to have to be to find that safe environment and that platform where there's a belief that if I have an idea and I can have the opportunity to execute that idea, I'll be able to make it to good use for the organization and I'll be valued for it.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Yeah, and so the three pillars, I didn't quite catch I was trying to summarize as you went. So the second one was
the data analytics and the innovation.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Yeah, thanks for that. And based on the approach that EcoBank has, I saw that in 2023, Global Finance named EcoBank as the most innovative bank in Africa. And in reading that, so it really speaks to what you're describing as institutionalizing the approach for innovation, really taking it on board wholeheartedly as an organization so that everyone can contribute. And what I was also reading about EcoBank is there's quite a little, and I think you're involved in some of the efforts, but quite an effort or a lot of initiatives set up to not only do this internally, but to engage external parties in that innovation cycle. Can you speak a little bit about how you work with what different initiatives you have set up at the bank and how does that enrich the innovation that's taking place at EcoBank?
Thank you. Thank you. And I think you're right, Lisa. So, I mean, we've been awarded the award of the most innovative bank. We've also had the most digital bank in our award. But I think all this recognition is really looking at the efforts that are being done, but the result that is being produced as well in the market. We think in terms of ecosystem. And we are part of that ecosystem, okay? And that ecosystem needs to be, we basically are trying to orchestrate that ecosystem. And that ecosystem has different players. The bank is very good at doing banking stuff, right? But you have to be able to work across the line with other partners like telcos. So telcos, for example, have the reach, they have the network, they have the customers, that they're engaging on a daily basis. So there are things that they do extremely well, which as a bank, we are not very good at. There are also things that we do very well that as a telco, they might not be good at. So that partnership is something that we really, really believe in. Beyond the telcos, we have other partners like the fintechs, right? On the fintech space, it's really about encouraging the creativity and helping this fintech to emerge. Right. So we have different programs like the FinTech Challenge that we do on an annual basis where we identify the top FinTech in the continent. And we have a program where they become FinTech fellows. And that program allows them to build a partnership with us and start really leveraging our platform, our reach to grow, right, to scale. Because that's what we are bringing. What we are bringing is the expertise of the bank, so with all the control, the compliance, and the systems, are also bringing the scale that we offer, about 33 countries where we can give access to. That's something that we, as an organization, can provide. Fintechs coming to us have that opportunity to leverage that. And in order to facilitate that process, we also what we call sandbox our API marketplace, where you know these partners can also link to us and leverage our capabilities. There's one last group of partners that I would like to bring up, which is the retail partners. So these are agents that have, you know, to usually try to have our businesses, and we can leverage them for our distribution. We can leverage them to engage our customers on a daily basis. Right. So these are our agents, and we have the whole framework to enable them to serve our customers. So ecosystem, think complementarity, think orchestration, and then we're helping that ecosystem too.
All right. Yeah, super. And when you look at digital transformation, some banks are, every bank is at a different point in a digital transformation process. And how would you describe the current state of digital transformation within EcoBank? And which initiatives are you leading to drive further transformation?
I tend to be, maybe because of my entrepreneurship background, I tend to think in terms of phases, right? So you move, you have a concept, you go to an incubation, and then you get to your product for, you know, and then you have to do the product markets match, and then you go to your scale, your commercialization, and you start really now expanding. If I look at that journey, I think we are at a point now where scale and commercialization is the most important thing. The key infrastructure are in place, the key products are in place, the key systems are in place. Okay? To just to give you some idea, we are processing now more than 90% of all transactions on digital platform for the bank.
All right. Well, 90%. That's huge.
It's very, very huge. So between the digital channels, our agency network, which we consider that as because of being spread particular, and then ATMs, which we also consider a part of our chain, we processing more than 90% of the transactions. So our branch footprint is taking about 5 to 6%. That's a branch. So it just tells you where we are now. But the most important thing for us now is be able to scale up. Scaling becomes extremely important. And scaling is customer acquisition, customer servicing, a customer upgrade, cross-selling. And all of that, for that to work, needs to be digitally driven. So we are putting a lot of effort now into customer acquisition. So all the digital sales process, how you identify the customer, how you onboard the customer and open an account remotely, right? Do the first initiation of transactions and start building your knowledge of that customer and then get it to the point where you do the cross-selling to the customer. So can you do all of that digitally?
Yeah.
That is one area that we're looking at, for example. Another area that we are looking at is if you want to serve customers digitally, how can you digitize your decision process? So, right, you know, the lending process, you know, how you decide, how you decide to make a loan, how do you decide to take an application? How do you expose that service to the final user? Mm-hmm. So that's also another big initiative that we're looking at. Another initiative that we're looking at is more sophisticated product, which in the traditional sense, people will not have access to, like wealth management product.
Yeah.
Can we offer wealth management product digitally at a point that becomes accessible to the most users? So all of these initiatives that we are currently working on. But I think the key thing is really scale, scale, and scale.
Three times. Yeah. Within that, so there's a lot of different technologies that are there to enable such a transformation. And what role do you see? And some of them are more conventional, some of them are emerging. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the role that emerging technologies such as AI or blockchain or quantum, for that matter, do you see these playing a role in transforming the banking and financial services landscape, particularly in Africa or within EcoBank, but also in Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So like you said, I think all of these has to be technology driven. And some of these technologies are more traditional. Believe it or not, cloud is now considered to be traditional. So years ago, it was the most. So all of these technologies have a key role. I believe the new technologies have some importance, but like I said, technology has to be applied to solve relevant local problems. So it's a tool, right?
Yep.
And what's really important is the ability of the users to apply that technology to the problem. Right. So I can see definitely a lot of things. So blockchain, for example, there have been a lot of attempts, for example, to drive blockchain into, because of the security measure, the security component, into digital ID. Mm-hmm. How do I do a better digital ID with a blockchain technology to engage the customers, right? So these are something that, you know, people have been looking at. I mean, I'm talking about general now in Africa. Yeah. But where I see, in my view, the most potential is on the AI. Mm-hmm. It's really where I see the most potential, because there are so many use cases that comes into play, and there are so many data that are now becoming available. So our ability to understand this data and to start leveraging the data and build insight will accelerate the decision-making process and will also augment the capacity, the capability that we have. I don't see this new technology replacing people. I don't see this technology as replacing people. I don't see this technology as replacing the system. No, that's not what I see. I see them as being augmenting the capacity, as making things more efficient, as getting into a faster delivery, as providing more customer satisfaction, increasing that satisfaction. Because at the end of the day, like I said, it really comes down to that customer. It's not about the technology, it's about the user.
Sure. Yeah, and I like your outlook is when you're building something, you have a toolbox and there are a lot of tools in it, and it's about identifying what are the challenges or what problems are you trying to solve or what parts of the thing you're building is. Pick the right tool for the right job and don't get fascinated or caught up in the technology itself, but what problems can it actually solve? So that's a really inspiring outlook for the listeners. I think they'll get good insight from that. So looking at, now, zooming back on yourself for a minute, Valet, what key skills do you think that you have or that you believe are essential for being successful as a chief digital officer?
Ooh. You know, there's a number of skills that I think are critical, right? But these are normal life skills. But applying these skills becomes extremely important. The first one for me is really the capacity to learn, mm-hmm. right? Learning is extremely, extremely critical, okay? And in that sense, you know, things are changing so fast and so quickly that you have to be able to learn, but also to unlearn. Because what you believe was true yesterday might not be true today. So,
yeah.
So there's that flexibility that is extremely important. So I think that's one key.
Can I ask a question on that, Valet? Because you say, I think we both of us have worked on in a startup context and in a large banking context. And sometimes the skills you learn in one are less helpful in the other. So that unlearning part. But are there specific things that you learned as an entrepreneur that you had to unlearn working within the corporate environment? Can you? I'm just curious to hear if there's something you say.
I'll give you in the startup world, looking at crypto, I was excited. I'm looking at cryptocurrencies everywhere. Right? I'm very, very excited. And I feel like, oh, yeah, this is the way things will turn for the future. And then you join a large bank and then you start facing regulatory hurdles. You start facing prudential control that the bank has to manage the risk. You start looking at all of that. And then suddenly you're not losing the eye or the opportunity that could be, but you start putting that in a normal context. Understood.
Yeah. No,
so it's really about adjusting based how things are moving. And sometimes the landscape can be favorable. Sometimes it cannot be favorable. So you have to look at really other thing. And then you have a situation where new technology are coming every day, right? So I don't know if you heard about the VMAX, which was supposed to be the new G5 that will take everything over, right?
Yeah.
And then we are, right?
Here we are. Yeah, indeed.
So I think that you have situations like that where you need to be, to have that flexibility. I think that's an important, if you really want to be. Once more, it's about understanding that it's not a technology, it's the user. It's a problem that you're trying to face. That's the lesson. The second element, the second skill, which I found extremely important, especially in a chief digital officer situation, is being able to create, to collaborate. When you're running a digital transformation, you don't own anything. You are coordinating and you are working with other players, right? The technology guys have the technology. The business guys have the product. The operation guys have the processes. You have the function and everything. And are you sitting in between and you're trying to really bring all of that together to to orchestrate that in a digital environment. Yeah. So that capacity to collaborate and create a collaborative environment is extremely important. So that's
what and touching back on something you said earlier a couple of times already, it's all about the customers. It, maybe if I don't want to add to what you're saying, but it just maybe what I'm reflecting on is, okay, there's, as you're describing, you've got the guys that own the tech, you've got the teams that own the process, the teams that own the product. And I guess individually, they might get lost in their own domain, but I guess for digital transformation, for leading transformation, it's about bringing it all together so that it's focused on the client and making sure that...
That's it. Yeah. And that's why the discussion has to be about the customer.
Yeah.
Because that's the common denominator. That's the unifying factor from everyone.
Yeah.
And once you do that, then you start really having a conversation that can put the pieces together.
Right. So we've got the capacity to learn and unlearn and the ability to foster collaboration.
And then the last thing is really being flexible and creative, right? Creativity is important. You have to be able to come up with new ideas, new ways of looking at problem. And that's the other thing. I don't think as a digital person, your role is to come with a solution. I think your role is to create the environment and the framework for the solution to emerge, right? Yeah. So it's really about how am I looking at the problem? Can I bring some lenses to the problem? Can I bring some guiding principle? So just, but for me, for example, some of the digital guiding principles, for example, is instant gratification, simplicity, value. In that digital world, right? Instant gratification, if I cannot provide in the solution that you guys are giving me, if I cannot provide that necessary gratification to the customer, then I'm putting ourselves into a disadvantaged position, right? On the simplicity, you may want to approve to meet your regulatory requirement or compliance, which is important, extremely important. But if you require the 50 steps for the customer, the hoops that the customer has to go through, then I'm losing him at the fifth level, right? He's gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And then value is another important concept because you may think of value as something that is monetary. But in our new world, value is not monetary. Value is maybe visibility, is maybe the number of likes that you have, is maybe how much is that expanding my network, is all of these elements we need to understand so that you can really see, okay, how am I being relevant to that customer today?
Yeah, really interesting. So also in the role of Chief Digital Officer, obviously there are going to be challenges that you face. And what are some of the challenges that you face and how did you overcome them?
I mean, the first one is what I just said, which is the coordination. Those roles are really, they are very important.
Yeah.
I've been in three situations now where I'm leading digital transformation. All these situations are completely different.
Yeah.
In some places, it's really your scope is predefined. In other places, it's much larger. In other places, it's not defined at all. Right. So you have to be able to work with the various stakeholders to find a platform or a way, an engagement model where all the parties are coming together to solve, to use the digital technology for that. So that's important. And then the second element is, especially when you're working with a traditional bank, that's a culture.
Yep.
So how does the culture, how does the different parties in the bank are open to a culture of change? So that in that sense, as a chief digital officer, you're almost becoming like an evangelist, right? Because you're trying to preach that there's other ways to do things, right? So that's something that is important. And the last thing is, in anything that you do, it's critical to be able to measure the impact.
Right.
So you need to have clear KPIs. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you become just the shiny toy, the guy who's producing the shiny toy in the house.
But if it doesn't bring the numbers, it remains.
It doesn't bring the numbers. So you need to have the KPI, and your KPI has to be very clear. Okay. And that's very challenging because sometimes the system is not set to be able to identify that impact that digital initiatives are bringing. Because ultimately, it's either increasing the revenue, reducing the cost, or maybe improving the experience.
Yeah.
So it's one of these.
I guess in a banking context, another pretty common one that I'm used to is reducing risk as well. So it's
reducing risk. Yeah. So it's this. You have to be able to point to the value, make sure that you can measure that impact. And at the end of the process, That's how you become relevant to everyone in the organization.
Understood. That's great advice. And the role of the chief digital officer is probably a bit different at different companies. And with that, I think often comes misconceptions about what does a chief digital officer do. But are there any common misconceptions that people have about your role as chief digital officer at Ecobank?
It's not specifically at Ecobank, but I think generally speaking, when you look at the role of chief digital officer, people tend to think of a chief digital officer as a technology person.
Right.
This is a tech guy.
Yeah.
Right? It could be a tech guy, but it's not. I mean, the role is not a tech role.
Mm-hmm.
The role is understanding how technology is impacting customers, how technology can be used to drive the business. But it's not even only technology. It's how technology, new ways of working, right? New culture can actually drive the business performance and create a new, transform company. That's all of this coming together. So I think it's really sometimes people reduce it as technology. And I think that's an important factor. The second element is sometimes people look at the digital traditions as a guru. Because everything is going to come with a solution. Unfortunately, some of the chief digital officers also present themselves as such. I think it's important, especially at the beginning. But the reality couldn't be further from the, it couldn't be further from the truth, right? So the truth is transformation is a team game. It's everyone in the organization. It is, maybe you could be a symbol for that, but the reality is it's a team game and it's a very large team. And you have to be able to make every member of the team play.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't achieve your goal. So I think there's some elements that are important to
attend. I don't know. If I were to characterize then, so it's not necessarily being the star player on the team, but more kind of like a coach in a way to bring up, make sure that as it's a team sport, that all of the athletes and all the team members are working well together to win the game. Sports.
Yeah, and like in the team sports, or you have the players, you have the coach, you also have the supporters. You have to leverage everything.
And just maybe the final question I have for today, as I mentioned before, a lot of our listeners are those that are aspiring to lead to digital transformation in their future career. And I just wanted to say or ask, what advice would you give to them in pursuing a career in digital transformation? And if they have their aspirations to become a chief digital officer someday, what advice would you give them?
I think one of the key things that is important to succeed in this, for me, really, in these things, with all the things that I've said is, the capacity to persevere, mm-hmm. right? The capacity to persevere, I think, is extremely important because you are in a world where, it's digital driven, and you'll see that people, you have more failures than successes, right? But you have to be able to overcome some of the failures because you have to make that an experimentation mode so that it's a small experimentation and you can move on rather than trying to get everything big and everything. So that's an important. And in that sense, you also have to be able to celebrate your small wins. When you do a small wins, you have to celebrate them. Now, as an aspiring, somebody who is looking at a position and trying to aspire, I think my first advice would be curious. If you are curious and you start learning, it's important. My second advice is, and I'm using my case, what I'm doing, I didn't learn that at school. I just learned the mindset about approaching it. So self-development and personal development is extremely important. So you can go, you can try to do some exercise. You can put yourself in a situation where, there are digital solutions that are being implemented and everything. And my last thing is, don't look far, right? Take your mobile, take your phone. You have that with you every day. Start engaging, understanding how that dynamic works. Look around you. See what type of app, what type of solution people are using. Try to understand why they're using this solution rather than that solution. So that's how you develop your mindset about having a digital approach to the situation.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think your first one was about your capacity to persevere and was reminded immediately of, I think it was Michael Jordan, the basketball player who I think in his career missed 12,345 shots, but he scored a lot as well.
He scored a lot.
It's that spirit of perseverance that gets you through the hard times and keeps you on the journey.
Hey, just one last point maybe, into this, because I think sometimes the danger that we have is that around us, people are expecting quick wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people were really coming, oh yeah, okay, everything is going to change digitally. And these quick wins, I mean, you may be able to get, you know, few things, but these quick wins are not scale in a sense that everywhere in the organization, people can feel it, right? So it's an incremental. It has to be incremental in that sense. And you have to be able to manage the expectations around you for that. Otherwise, create between the expectation and the reality, there's a big gap where people start getting disillusions.
Yeah, and I've heard that so many times throughout my career. You know, what are the quick wins? What are the quick wins? Or what's the low-hanging fruit? These expressions that kind of shift focus away from having meaningful transformation. I think that's great advice to not be distracted by chasing that quick win and that low-hanging fruit and have the vision clear, KPIs clear, and then staying the course. And that requires all the things you mentioned about perseverance, being curious, and focusing on self-development and making sure that bigger vision is achieved and not just the quick wins. Yeah. Great advice to finish it off. But unfortunately, that's all the time we're going to have for today. But before we wrap up, if people want to follow along with the work you're doing or research you're doing, where's the best place for them to go?
I think the best place is on the social. I'm on LinkedIn. People are invited to reach out. So it's Valaik Roma Tekobank on LinkedIn. That's the best way. I do write a post, and usually all my posting are on LinkedIn as well. So you can follow what I'm doing on LinkedIn.
All right. Amazing. Well, Valaik, it's really been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. There's so much wisdom that you've unpacked for our listeners, and I want to really thank you a lot for that. And let's keep in touch and hope that we can maybe in 6 months or so have you back on the podcast to get an update on how things are going at EcoBank.
It'll be a pleasure. And thank you for inviting me.
All right. Super. Thanks very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Chief Digital Heroes, brought to you by Settlement, the world's leading blockchain transformation platform. To learn more about Settlement or to access the latest episodes, visit settlement.com.